50 Baptists that we should know. This morning we're going to look at our 33rd Baptist, getting there, but still in number 33, Mordecai Ham. And I think Mordecai Ham and Obed Zulu have to be the greatest pastor's names in history. I love that name, Obed Zulu. But Mordecai Ham was one of the most prominent, powerful evangelists in the first half of the 20th century. He was born in Kentucky in 1877, and he came from eight generations of Baptist preachers. His conversion and spiritual inclinations, he said, or he attributed to his mother's godly character and his father's devotions every night with the family. When he was 8 years old, he was saved, and he stated at nine, "I had the definite conviction that the Lord was wanting me to preach." He would fight that call for many years, but at 16, he was a Sunday school superintendent. I just bring that up to show that he was very very articulate and quite a leader, as we'll see later in his ministry. He, again, was kind of running from the Lord. He went to college and studied law. He did not go into the law profession because he was too young to take the bar examination when he graduated, but he took a sales job in Chicago and built a business there. But then his grandfather died in 1899, and this Lord used to really renew his call to preach, and he did that, and he was married the next year, July of 1900. December, he quit his business. He didn't answer the call to preach. He gave his partner his entire share in his business, and he borrowed some money to get started in the Lord's work. He felt that he needed to take some time off and carefully study the scripture and prayerfully consider what the Lord had for him. He took 8 months off in the first part of 1901, and one day he went with his father to a pastor's meeting, and he was kind of put on the spot and asked to preach. When he was finished, the congregation was just stirred and praising the Lord. That led to a lot of those churches asking him to come and preach for them, something he didn't expect was going to happen at all. And so he began to preach. That was his first sermon on the Lordship of Christ. And he began to, his kind of his mode when he went to different towns was that he felt that he would go early and spend some time in personal soul winning, and he thought that would reap great results in the meeting that would follow. And he followed this pattern in his first revival. He went after the biggest sinners in town and often saw them saved before the meetings ever started. He again believed that enough personal evangelism would produce large results if he could just get some people saved before he started the meeting. So the accounts of his the opposition to him and the accounts of his meetings with these different cities are just kind of amazing. They're thrilling to read. A typical story was that he would go after, as I said, the most notorious sinner in town. He would come to town. He would ask the people, "Who is the most notorious sinner? Who is somebody I should go see, that person?" They said at that time he was in a southern town, and he was directed to a certain cornfield. And this man was an infidel. He blasphemed God. He was just a terrible man, personally and in public. The infidel saw the preacher coming, and he went into hiding, and the evangelist began to hunt down through the cornfield to try to find him. He heard some noise under a corn shock, and he hauled him out. And the infidel said, "What are you going to do with me?" And Ham said, "I'm going to pray that God will kill you. If you don't believe God exists, if there is no God, then my prayers can't hurt you." He said, "But if there is a God, you deserve to die because you're making atheists out of your children and grandchildren." And the atheist begged him not to pray that way. And Ham said, "Very well then, I'll ask God to save you." And that man was saved that day in that cornfield. And this is typical of Mordecai Ham, just an amazing personality and doing what. And think of the courage, in a sense. You know, we read these stories, they're exciting, but think of the courage to do that. That's not the end of the story. That infidel was saved. He brought 40 members of his family. They were all saved and baptized in the next week during that meeting. Just an amazing story. And, of course, that just shakes the community at that point, and that was his point. In 1905, his revivals began to produce large results. In Jackson, Tennessee, he saw 1,500 people saved over a course of 6 weeks. The entire area was shaken, as I said. Ham's name began to, his fame began to rise. People began to note who this young man was. As a result of that crusade, the state legislature passed two reform bills, one separating liquor from grocery stores, getting it out of the grocery stores, and another stopping all racetrack gambling. He had quite an influence as he saw these people saved, many of them very important people. But on December 4th, 1905, his wife Bessie died suddenly, stricken with cerebral meningitis. This shook him to his depths. He said he lost 50 pounds. He didn't think he could preach again. And then he thought, well, he would be able to preach again. He would thought he'd be single like the Apostle Paul. But the Lord would bring a young lady into his life. He would marry again 4 years later. That marriage lasted over 50 years. There's some great stories, and I can't take the time to tell them all. But one is how the hymn "Save, Save, Save" was written. He was preaching on the cities of refuge in Gonzales, Texas, and in the audience, they didn't know this at the time, but there was a murderer in the audience. The man had killed four people, and he had come to disrupt the service and just out of curiosity. As he was preaching that Christ is our refuge for sinners and of any and every type, and that Jesus will save all who flee to him. Midway through the sermon, the man jumped up from his seat. He was saved right there in his seat. And he yelled out, "Save, save, saved." And God did a wonderful work. Well, the choir director, Jack Schofield, that so moved him that he went home that next day and wrote the song that we now sing, "Save, Saved." And the wonderful, wonderful hymn that is, written because of that man's testimony and the sermon there that night from Mordecai Ham. His preaching, much like Billy Sunday, was against the evils of atheism and alcohol. His biggest fight, I guess, was against an organization called the American Association for the Advancement of Atheism. And he fearlessly blasted away at that organization and those people. And also the alcoholism and the liquor and the liquor crowd. The author of the amendment for prohibition stated that Billy Sunday and Mordecai Ham nearly put the saloons out of business. Literally thousands and thousands of saloons were closed during that time because of their preaching. Once he was, just to give you an idea, that the crowd hated him so much, the liquor crowd. One day he was struck by a car dragged for half a block down the street. It was a deliberate plot by the enemies of the Lord to kill him. He was knocked out of commission for like 2 months, I guess. They actually had armed guards in his hospital room that his church did. And then back in again preaching against atheism and modernism, and the crowds began to even grow larger. Six crusades were held in 1931, interesting year. He saw 11,400 people saved that year. He saw the leader of the underworld, the southern Al Capone, I guess he would be. He had 300 henchmen that worked for him. He was saved. He saw the heavyweight boxer Otto Sutton saved during that year. And then in the fall of 1934, in a crusade in Charlotte, North Carolina, he was having a very difficult meeting, and a young man, 16-year-old Billy Graham, came forward and was saved. And you might say, why do I bring that up? We certainly in no way condone what Billy Graham became, but I will say that before Billy Graham went into ecumenicalism and did what we now know him as, many people were saved, legitimately saved. My father was saved in a Billy Graham meeting. My grandfather was saved in a Billy Graham meeting. Pastor Armacost's father was saved in a Billy Graham meeting in St. Louis. That man did lead souls to the Lord and changed my family's life. But I bring that up to say, that these men that were saved under his meetings. As a result of his ministry, and these numbers will astound you probably, we're going to hear about a few men in the early part of the 20th century that just had tremendous blessing of God, but over 300,000 converts joined Baptist churches in Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky, and the Carolinas over a period of 30 years. 300,000 converts. His campaign took him to 22 states. And Mordecai Ham went to be with the Lord in 1961 at the age of 84. And his life motto was, love all men and fear no men. A close observer, while he was still alive, said this. He said, he exalts Christ and fights with all his might. Under his preaching, I have seen murderers saved, drunkards converted, homes reunited, and men and women dedicating their lives for service. Over 17,000 people were called into Christian work during his meetings. As I said, there was over 300,000 converts. And we would probably consider Mordecai Ham to be the last of, I guess we'd call the legitimate, fundamental, large meetings, because he directed all his people to the local church, just filled the local churches across the South, that they were not ecumenical, they were legitimate in their outreach and the results, and I think that we would look at him as maybe the last of the large campaigns that didn't drift into other problems. And I thought, I don't know if we can do this, we're going to try. I would just take 45 seconds. Are we able to do that? And hear his preaching just for, this is part of a sermon that he preached a little later in his life, but just to hear his voice, and I think we can go ahead and try to.
Are you offering your good deeds? Are you? You say, well, I've been a faithful Sunday school teacher. I've been a faithful member of this church. I've been loyal to the truth. I'm fundamental. I'm orthodox. I try to live right. I'm trying to do the best I can. I don't want anything else I can do, but that is not acceptable to the Lord. That's what the old man Adam is doing. And you had just as well try to buy this building with a nickel as to buy, and even that's a very poor illustration, as to buy salvation with any of your good deeds or any of your offerings that you are making. Another thing, you need not offer your experience. Well, Mr. Ham, I was saved. I was just as happy. That doesn't mean a thing in the world. You can believe a lie, brother, and rejoice about it. For instance, Isaac believed a lie. He thought he was blessing Esau, but he was blessing Jacob. Why?
Just thought that'd be interesting to hear his preaching. We can do that with some of these that reach in the 20th century. And so we'll try to do that each week. But just thank the Lord this morning for Mordecai Ham, a name that many don't even know. You might know the name and not know his story, but thank the Lord for his ministry and all that he accomplished through the Lord.